Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. It is a good Thursday. So we have Espo today. It's our weekly conversation with Espo, Greg Esposito. And Espo does great work around the Sun solar panel that is on our website, sports360az.com. So we'll have Espo with us for a couple of minutes. We're going to talk about Al McCoy going to the Ring of Honor tomorrow night. Al is this week's subject on the media podcast, the Arizona media podcast I do. I did 30 minutes with Al from his hotel room in Memphis. It is up on the website. It's had a lot of downloads already. People interested to hear about Al McCoy going into the Ring of Honor. And so we'll have Espo. We're also going to talk to Espo, too, about the Suns being tougher. That was something that Earl Watson discussed this last week after the game against Memphis, and how he needs to see more of that, and how do you go about getting tougher if it's just not there. Goody at the Movies, our weekly segment with Bill Goody Kuntz. Yeah, he's got some movies to talk about, but Price Waterhouse has got to be fired after what happened to the Oscars the other night, so we'll get into the movies this weekend, and much more with Goody at the Movies. That is coming up. But not much last night that I watched in sports other than Boston and Cleveland over the NBA. Like, I'm watching the Eastern Conference guys in the league, and Washington is making a move. Washington is getting better and better. I know that's going to just not something you want to hear if you're a Markieff Morris hater, and he's here next week, or Martin Gortat, former Sun. So a couple Suns are getting it done in D.C., but Washington is making a move over in the East. Kevin Love's knee is not good. Boston is a team that I think is obviously better. Pretty darn good game last night. Isaiah Thomas, another former Sun, hit a big three. And the Celtics were able to win the game. I watched quite a bit of that. But by and large, last night was a reading night. I was just reading about Combine. It was a text night. There's nights now when we do what we do, it's not all about what you watch anymore. It's who are you able to talk to via text back at the Combine. What is of interest back in the Combine when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals? Like, Steve Keim said something really interesting yesterday that I want to talk about later in the show involving David Johnson and finding another running back to go alongside of him. You may not think that that's a point of need for the Cardinals, but it's a very smart thing that Steve said. Running backs get the snot kicked out of them if you don't have enough help, if he gets injured like he did late in the season. I mean, you've got to have more depth at all spots. The NFL is a game of attrition. It just is. It's not always about the best team. By the end of the year, who has not lost as many players as the guy next to you? You know, look at last season with the Cardinals at wide receiver. Let's just take that for instance. Okay, Larry Fitzgerald leads the league in receptions. I'd rather see John Brown have 15 to 20 more catches, but last season he wasn't healthy. Michael Floyd wasn't a factor and then wasn't here. So you go through the receiving core. Would you like to have seen more opportunities there? Sure you would have. Would I like to see David Johnson have 50 less carries on the tires? I want David Johnson here 5 years, 6 years, 8 years. That's really hard for a running back. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. Keim said the usual stuff. Like, I don't know. Every year they're asked about quarterbacks, and Bruce said the same thing last year. I think I could go back and get the scouting combine tape from last year. And I was at it last year. I didn't see the need to go this year. I don't want to go back and just do one piece on a kicker because that's it for ASU and U of A. You know, the rest of the stuff around the Cardinals, Bruce said, yeah, there's four or five quarterbacks that he really likes. Well, Bruce said that last year. You know, it's become a game of sound bites, and really the behind-the-scenes stuff, not what you see on TV, but those meetings where they sit with the player, and we're not allowed to be involved in any of that, right? We're not allowed to be involved in any of that. How they comport themselves in those meetings. How do they comport themselves when they're up on the whiteboard? Like, John Gruden's deal that he does is so good because that's as raw as it's going to be for fans to see, okay, you're now thrown in front of the board. If you can't do it in front of the board, it doesn't matter how big your arm is. See, lots of people that play like Tarzan look like Jane. You know, they say they can. Look like Tarzan, play like Jane. I'll get their line right. So, you know, the combine, while it's going on right now, and there's been conversation all morning long about the size of the quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are all right around 6'2 and a quarter, 6'2 and three quarters. They're all right around 6'2 this, 6'2 that. Is it something where one of those guys jumps out at me? When I watched Deshaun Watson last year, and I watched a lot of Deshaun Watson last year, to me, he's the best quarterback today. Trubisky could be the best quarterback 2 years from now. He's only started 13 games. So in the next few days, everybody's going to make an analysis. If it's me and I'm the Cardinals and I look at the type of offense that they run, I'm going to want to see the how they perform at the board. I'm going to want to see what their decision-making process is like. It doesn't matter to me if they can make a throw. If they can't make the throw, that's obvious. It'll be obvious to all of us. Next month, when they roll through for their pro days at their respective universities, the players will take what happens here at the combine, and they'll go back and they'll drop weight. Or they'll, like Leonard Fournette, got to drop some weight, man. So that's some of the early stuff that's come out of the combine. This also has become more of a news cycle. Like, there's some news around the NFL today that I think is really, really interesting. Colin Kaepernick, you can roll your eyes all you want, but Colin Kaepernick has decided, according to sources at the combine telling the national media, that he is now going to stand for the national anthem, that his form of protest is over. So why would he do that? Well, let me give you 10 million reasons or 5 million reasons why that is. Because he's about to be available, not going to be back in San Francisco. Any head coach is not going to want to deal with, or an owner is not going to. Can you imagine being the coach that walks into the owner? It's like Joe Mixon, the running back at Oklahoma. Coach walks in. It's draft day. General manager is sitting there. General manager says, we're going to take a running back. Owner pokes his head in. Oh, what running back are you going to take? We're going to take Mixon. 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 That's the kid from Oklahoma. And you've got him rated as the top four back on your draft board. Well, maybe running back number 5, number 6, number 7, number 8, number 9, number 10, number 15, number 20 are not that far off of Mixon. And as an owner, I'm not going to have to deal with the headache of explaining to fans why I'm bringing in somebody who broke a girl's face. Those are the conversations that are going to have to be had. That's what applies to Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick, if you bring him in, it's going to be, he did his form of protest last year. It was a really difficult time in our country. You know, the more that I've thought about it, the more that I think I probably was a distraction, something along those lines. And the underlying theme is, I need the money. I need a check. I need a big, fat check so I can stand for the anthem if I'm going to get a big, fat check. Let's not kid each other here. So that story is of interest to me today, that Colin is going to stand during the national anthem. I don't know. That's just kind of something you do. But he can throw a football and he can run. So there's no quarterbacks that are out. By the end of the season, guys, look at who's quarterbacking teams. There's just no depth. So a guy like Colin Kaepernick, of course he's going to get another job. Would I want Colin Kaepernick here with the Arizona Cardinals? Okay. I brought this up the other day with Adrian Peterson. Every player that gets released, you have to, if you're doing your due diligence, say, yeah, that's a fit. No, it's not. Is Colin Kaepernick a better veteran backup quarterback than what they currently have in Drew Stanton? You'd have to ask that question. And what do the dollars look like? You may think I'm crazy, but that's how it works in this league. Can't pass over anybody. I would pass on him. I don't need that as a position here. I'd much rather draft a quarterback because I don't see him as the future. But if you're a team like the Texans, who's sitting there with just a train wreck with Brock Osweiler, absolute train wreck, or fill in the blank of 20 other teams that are saying, well, we could use a veteran like Colin Kaepernick, and now he's going to stand for the anthem. But is the owner going to want any part of that? That is going to be the big question. Then we have Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson may well re-sign with Minnesota. But if you're the Green Bay Packers and you're able to snag Adrian Peterson, if you're the Oakland Raiders and you're able to snag Adrian Peterson, if you are the Seattle Seahawks, There's some teams out there for Adrian Peterson. Again, he doesn't make sense here. I would have the conversation based on what I told you earlier. Steve Keim saying yesterday, yeah, we'd like to add more running back. We're not set at that position because we'd like to have more depth there. Adrian Peterson's not the answer. I got it. But you at least have to have the conversation. This story that came out about 20 minutes ago, Tennessee looking to move out of the fifth pick in the draft. They're interested in moving around. Well, Tennessee has talked to New Orleans. They've talked to New Orleans about Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks, big-time wide receiver. Put Brandon Cooks at Tennessee, and all of a sudden, it's a first-round pick that gets moved. Or you put Brandon Cooks, Philadelphia. Philadelphia's talked to the Saints about Brandon Cooks. It's come out this morning. So here you have a wide receiver who's got a year left on his contract. But you're the Saints, and you can't play defense to save your life. You just can't. That's been the story in New Orleans. You've got to be able to have a defense. And if you're going to trade away one of your most valued assets, a wide receiver and Brandon Cooks, then you got to do it. And so that's an interesting story that's come out of the combine this morning. And it's very early on in the process. To me, it's more the business side of the NFL right now that I like even more so than the draft sizes of quarterbacks and all that. We've got, we've got 2 months still. That's just less than 2 months till the draft. But the business side, on March 9th, that's when everything can go down. They can agree to a deal today. New Orleans can say, we're trading Cooks to Tennessee or we're trading with Philadelphia. Cannot become official until March 9th, a week from today. A week from today is going to be one of the busiest days of the year in the NFL. And if it's Calais Campbell leaving, going to Oakland or many other places that are interested in him, if it's Tony Jefferson leaving, all that stuff is going to come to a head here a week from now. All right, switch gears on the other side. Espo is with us, and we'll talk about the Suns and tomorrow night, Al McCoy being presented. Who should present Al McCoy? Because Al's presented everybody in the Ring of Honor because he's been here forever. Who is the right person to present Al McCoy into the Ring of Honor tomorrow night? We'll get into that and much more. The first pick overall, the Suns. Suns have got a problem tonight. They actually play a good team that's not good, that has a chance of beating the Suns. Or losing to the Suns. That's the worst thing. Suns cannot lose or win. I'm confused. Suns cannot win. That's what I want. I don't want them to win. I want Lonzo Ball here. We're back with Martha this time out. Well, I am worried about the Suns. Tonight, this is a game they actually might win, and that's not good. We cannot have wins by the Suns from here on out. They've done a nice job this week of just blowing. That's what they're supposed to do. This is Tankapalooza. Those of you that think I'm joking, I am not. I do not want to see them get another W the rest of this season. I don't. And so Charlotte comes in here tonight, and they're not good. They're not good at all. 11th over in the East. Nicholas Batum's their best player. That should tell you all you need to know. Espo's with us now. Espo wrote, solar panel, are the Suns headed in the right direction? It's up on the site. Of course, Greg Esposito, longtime observer, follower, part of the Suns for many years, is now part of Sports360AZ.com. And you have your own podcast too, right? You can plug that away all you want, right?
Yeah, I do. I do. It's called the Solar Panel, just like the column. We do it once a week. It's myself, Tim Tompkins, who's a Sun super fan, and then also Dave King, who's the editor over at Bright Side of the Sun. He and I have a bit of a rivalry, so it makes for a little fun where we take shots back and forth at each other. I got to talk. You mentioned Charlotte. I think Kemba Walker might actually take umbrage to you saying Nicholas Batum is the best guy on the Hornets. I remember Kemba Walker was an All-Star this year. So
Nicholas Batum is their leading scorer and leader in assists, right?
This is true. I'm just saying, Kemba was an All-Star.
Kemba was an All-Star, and do we need to go to the All-Star game? Really? Would I take Kemba Walker? Sure. I mean, the hype machine, but Charlotte stinks. Come on, Greg.
Hey, I just haven't seen an All-Star here in Phoenix since Steve Nash's second to last year, so I don't know. I don't know what to think about All-Stars, but I'd like to see one here. It'd be nice.
Yeah, I know. Am I right or wrong in saying they just need to keep losing?
No, you're 100% right. It's the only way that you're actually going to wind up winning in the long term. It's the old saying, you can't, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. For 48 of the last 49 seasons, the Suns have continually tried to reload or rebuild through trade and free agency and have never committed to building with youth through the draft and actually losing as part of that process. And I think now was the time to do it. Well, I take that back. 6 years ago was the time to do it.
Exactly.
They didn't commit to it then, yeah. But they are now, and I like what McDonough and the team is starting to do. So,
do you think they're tanking intentionally, without saying so?
Well, I don't think the players and Earl Watson's coaching staff, well, no players and coaches would ever intentionally do it, but I think GM Ryan McDonough set it up where it's very difficult to win. I mean,
trade away your best defensive player for a bag of rocks. That tells me it's time to tank.
Yeah. And I'm sure he had a heavy influence on the fact that you're not seeing Tyson Chandler or Brandon Knight see the court now. I don't think Earl Watson went, you know what, I really would like to not play my best center and one of my favorite guys, but I'm sure the front office had a heavy influence on that as well.
Okay, so Al McCoy is going to the Ring of Honor tomorrow night, and I asked him about who's presenting him. We did a podcast earlier this week, the Arizona Media Podcast. I'll get my plug in on this. And he did not know who was going to present him tomorrow night. Who do you think should, then who do you think will?
Oh, it's got to be Jerry, right? It's got to be Jerry Colangelo, the guy that hired him, that brought him in, and is probably the guy that's more synonymous with the Suns than Al. I think it has to be Jerry. Now, will it be? I don't know. I'm just not sure that.
Oh, come on. Get off the fence. What do you mean you don't know? You just know or yes? Yes or no?
You know, No, it's not going to be Jerry,
all
because
right.
That would require Robert Sarver to put aside the ego for that. And if it is Jerry tomorrow, I will eat my words. I will applaud Robert Sarver, but I highly doubt it's going to be Jerry. And quite frankly, I have no clue who it's going to be.
I think it could be. What if it were Steve Nash?
That would be interesting, because the two of them did share quite a nice moment during Nash's induction, where Steve had his arm around Al and they shared a nice moment. So that would be good. I'd be all for that. Even maybe Charles could be entertaining hosting something like that for Al. Now, I'm not sure that Charles will be there. He's got TNT tonight, so I doubt he'll make the trip, but that would be another interesting name as well.
Because Nash and Robert have the soccer team together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they do business, even though Nash is helping out over at Golden State, and that's a whole nother discussion for another day. But you know, I'm just thinking of guys through the years with Al. I heard Walter Davis is his favorite son of through the years, but does Walter Davis, for current day ownership, are they going to sit around a table and say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense? Do you think they went to Al and said, who would you like to have present you? I should have asked him that, but I didn't. Bad interview on my part.
My guess is no, since he said he doesn't really know who it's going to be. So I'm pretty sure he would have said they asked me when you asked that question on the podcast. They probably should have asked Al. I don't know if Walter Davis is the personality that you want out there too, because you have to captivate an entire arena for 15, 20 minutes as well. So you know, it's too bad that Dan Marley's coaching, because that would have been a great guy to have MC it as well.
He might be there tomorrow night. I don't know GCU's schedule. Could you have all the Ring of Honor, since he inducted all of them, they induct him? Could you have all of them just pass a microphone around? That would be probably my call. I mean, Jerry would be my number one call, but Jerry's in the Ring of Honor, so you could just have all of them together. If for Jerry to be the guy tomorrow night, it would require Robert calling Jerry, which I don't think would happen, but it would require somebody on Robert's staff calling Jerry and saying, hey, we'd like to have you. Would you ever do it? I think that's how that would have to work.
Yeah. You know, it would be interesting to have one of Al's sons do it as well. Kind of a family affair, since Al's been so much of the Suns family. That could be a great way to do it. I don't care who's doing it tomorrow night. I'm just glad it's happening, because for 5 years when I was in the organization, we fought for it and were told no on numerous occasions because Al has the media center there. So it's great to just finally see Al go into the Ring of Honor, because if anybody deserves deserves it? It's Al. He's been there 45 years. He's the voice of the Suns. He is the Phoenix Suns for many people. Ownership's changed. Uniforms changed. The logos changed. Players have changed. Al's always been there. He is the Phoenix Suns.
All right. I'll let you go off that. I'll see you tomorrow night.
See you then.
Good
always
stuff.
Good, Brad.
You got it. There's Espo. Now, you can read his stuff. Solar panel. Are the Suns headed in the right direction? That's the headline that is up there. And that is the big story this weekend, I think, here in town, is Al going in tomorrow night. There's a story involving golf that I want to get to on the other side. So this involves baseball cutting back rules, changing rules to speed up the game. Golf is changing rules to speed up the game. Guys, there's this whole rush to, we got to reduce the amount of time because people are not going to sit there and watch, like the NFL's even looking at speeding up the game, because people have these with them. They have these with them, these things called smartphones or just phones, so they're not going to sit around. So golf's even now in the change business. I'm going to get into that on the other side. And then Goody at the Movies, much more from the NFL Combine, too. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmann. So do you guys cheat when you play golf? I don't. I don't know the rules or didn't know the rules inside and out. And, you know, when there's change that takes place in rules in any sport, people try to get off and get around it, and that's fine. That's what it's there for. You need to know the rules and how you can skirt around it. I'm not suggesting that people should intentionally go out and cheat, but there are those that will say, if I can get away with it in sports, then I'm going to do it. So in golf, there are now some new rules. Golf has looked at their rule book, and a lot of us just like to go out and hack, and we don't know about etiquette. We walk through people's lines. We don't mark balls. We don't know when to do our putt, who's off the green, who's not on the green, who drives first off the next hole, so on and so forth. Some people think that golf is too stoogy in that regard. I don't. I kind of like going out and playing golf with people that understand you don't walk on somebody else's line. If you're going to play with me, we're going to shoot around 90 to 100 and 105, and we're going to have fun. And I may get down to the mid-80s every now and then, the low 80s, but that's it. You know, I'm not here to win the U.S. Open. So when I saw that golf is now changing their rules and that they have cut their rule book from 34 down to 24, so what are these rules that they're going to change? The first set of rules in golf were set in 1744. The USGA, which governs US and Mexico, which governs the rest of the world, made the announcement Wednesday. Comprehensive review process that began in 2012. So for the last 5 years, they've been studying the game, saying, how can we change and speed up the game of golf? I wish I had that gig. Could you imagine? What are you doing today, honey? Well, I'm going to said golf course, and I'm going to see what slows down the game. Really? Yeah, I'm on salary. Actually, I'm on commission by every hole that I go out and judge. I don't know. But somebody out there is the czar of changing rules in golf. So they had to study this. And I don't know if they had to fly around the world to like the top 100 golf courses and get taken care of there. So the first rule that is being eliminated, and this does not go into effect until January 1st of 2019. Not only does this dude get to travel around the world, he's got to take almost 2 years to implement his changes. Elimination or reduction of moved ball penalties. No penalty for accidentally moving a ball on the putting green or elsewhere on the course while searching for a ball, and a player is not responsible for causing a ball to move unless it is virtually certain that he or she did so. Whoops, I kicked it. Sorry. Wow, I am not in front of that cactus or that rock anymore. No penalty, move ball penalty. Relax putting green rules. No penalty if a ball played from the putting green hits an unattended flag stick in the hole. Players may putt without having the flag stick attended or removed. Meaning, you know how we'll walk up there, I'll attend the flag. And so you're waiting for the dude to walk up there to pull the flag out. You don't have to wait anymore for that dude. You just putt. So the flag is, it could be in there. Players may repair spike marks, annual damage, animal damage, or other damages in the putting green, and there's no penalty for merely touching the line of a putt. So you can go out there and look at the line and, like, tap it down, I'm guessing. Yeah, this looks a little high. Well, those of you that have played, like, you can mess with lines now. You don't have rules on flag sticks anymore. Relaxed rules for penalty areas. That's called water hazards. Red and yellow marked penalty areas may now cover areas of desert, jungle, lava rock. In addition, I hit it into the lava. I can't hit the ball. Oh, no problem. So there's all sorts of changes in rules of the game where they're cutting away 10 rules. That's a lot, if you think about it. If you play golf even a little bit, it doesn't matter if you go to Shalimar, right? It doesn't matter if you go to Ocotillo where there's water everywhere. It doesn't matter if you blow when you play. It doesn't matter if you play once a year. Now you have all these rules that you could put into play. Hey, I hit my fifth ball in the water, but it's okay. The rules are relaxed. But I'd love to meet the dude that was put in charge of this. David Rickham, the director of the governance, we have looked at every rule to try to find ways of making them more intuitive and straightforward. We believe we've identified a number of significant improvements. So when you're out playing with the dude that is sitting there guzzling down a 12-pack on the front nine and smoking a cigar and cussing like a sailor, and you want to kick him out of your foursome, and he's in his jeans and T-shirt and Reeboks because he doesn't know any better. No, he's got it figured out. Man, I can skate away on these rules. So that caught my eye. Another thing that caught my eye, and then we'll take a break, is out at ASU yesterday. So Todd Graham walked around the facilities yesterday, and we've gone through these before. It's an easy media. Let's give some people a little bit of attention that they can put in their nightly shows, some content around us getting our stadium developed and everything around that. So Kalen Jones is one of our interns, and he is not going to be an intern for long. He's going to get hired somewhere unless he butchers this segment. But you were out there yesterday, right?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. How long was this tour?
It was about an hour.
Yeah?
Yeah, it wasn't too long.
Can I see Kalen? There he is. So it was about an hour, and it was Todd leading the way, right?
Oh, yeah. And Todd's a salesman. I was
really?
Telling, I was
shocking.
He could sell me a car.
Breaking news.
He is such a salesman. He's so good at it. So good at it.
No, but it's fine because you have to be a head coach.
Right.
You just have to be. Salesmen come in all ways, shapes, sizes, forms. So where did he take you, and do you have some video of this? Just play a little video and just tell us what you saw.
All right, well, he took us on a complete tour. There were 17 different spots.
17 yeah. spots with Todd Graham.
Yes, and it was pretty cool. You start off with the new Tillman Tunnel. It'll be on the north side of the stadium this year.
All right, do we have this video? Do we have this video, Jared?
Yep.
I don't see it. There it is. Fire away, Kalen. What do you got?
But yeah, it's going to be a 118,000 square feet facility. They're moving away from the Carson Student Athlete Center over into a new student athlete facility. But, I mean, they went all out. And
I would hope so.
And Ray Anderson talked about it at the luncheon, I believe, last month, how the school, or at least all the athletic programs, really are buying into – you know, being innovative and buying into the culture of, you know, being character, smart, disciplined, tough, like Todd Graham's mantra is for his football team. And they've sold out for it. Everywhere that you look, every bit, I mean, he's ecstatic about it. And it's really supposed to embrace and really embody his, you know, ideals. And
He does look like a construction foreman, Kalen.
He does.
Does he know how to swing a hammer?
I don't know.
We don't know?
I don't know. That would have been awesome to see.
Did he say left lane hammer down at all while he was doing this?
He did not.
He didn't?
He called it a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
That's true. It's Jerry World, so to speak. Well, it's like Clemson built a water slide park within their facility.
They have a waterfall.
Yeah, I get that. Do they have a waterfall here?
Yeah, inside of the plunge pool.
There's a waterfall.
Yes, there's a waterfall. It's not huge, but I mean, it's a waterfall.
But it's a waterfall.
Guess what else they have? Guess
what else they have?
They have a command center.
Of course they do.
I don't know if he did it to troll Mike Leach, and it's not officially in this, but he referred to it at least two or three times, and I could not help but crack up. And on top of that, they have the video board coming in, which is supposed to be started on March 15th, officially. But that's only 1 square foot bigger than U of A's. So there's a lot of pettiness.
Of course it is. I'm pleased that you were able to go cover this. So when is this all going to be done?
Expected to be completed by July. Right. So ahead of the first game, which is August 31st.
All right. Well, good stuff. I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, appreciate it.
We got to run here because we have Goody at the Movies next.
All good.
There's Kalen. You didn't screw up too badly.
Appreciate it.
No problem. We're back with more for this time out. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Hey, our media podcast is up this week with Al McCoy. If you've not heard it yet, he's going in the Ring of Honor tomorrow night. I think you'll like it. Arizona Media Podcast is just one of many, many, many different items. It's up on the website. Back with Goody at the Movies. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and it's a big weekend. Not only that, I was going to try to find Bill on Monday to talk about the Oscars, because I'm sure. Did you push send on your story? Because you're always fighting deadline when it comes to Oscars. Did you push send before the, wait a minute, La La Land didn't win.
I did indeed.
I bet. I thought of you.
And I immediately pulled it back. It's funny how people like, I've been dealing with, you know, if you follow me on Facebook or anything, you probably know this. I've been dealing with people who are not necessarily always enamored of what I write, which is fine. I don't, as long as they read, I don't care, you know.
Yep.
And I finally schooled my kids. Now they think it's funny. They used to think it was like legitimately threatening or something, but now they kind of get the jokes. But, I dealt with this some also during the election. There are these people on Facebook that were convinced that said, you know, I bet there are a lot of tears in the newsroom when Trump won. I bet you guys were so upset when Trump won. And it's like, you have no idea how deadline works. It's like nobody cared if Trump won. What we cared about was whether we made deadline. If you have, I'm sure everybody's upset. It's like, look, unless you were there, you just don't understand. It's like with a sporting event or anything else. You don't root for the team. You root to make deadline.
Yep.
And that's sort of how I felt. I mean, I thought La La Land was the best movie, but Moonlight was a great movie. I got no problem with Moonlight winning. And it ended up being kind of a nice moment with the two camps on stage there. And the La La Land people could not have been more gracious. I mean, that helped as well. But dang, I mean, that was just bad.
But, you know, and I'm thinking of you and scrambling on that. So what is the ultimate deciding what happened moment for you on this deal? Have you figured it out? Do you trust anybody's here's what happened explanation?
Well, it seems like they're covering it like, you know, the invasion of Normandy or something. I mean, every day there's new photos leaked from backstage and all this stuff. I don't care anymore. But I guess the two accountants in particular have been banned for life from the Oscars or something. And now Pricewaterhouse, who's been doing it forever, may not get to do it anymore. I've heard of, I mean, the thing that I think that we know is that, like, they keep identical cards on either side of the stage so that you make sure that the presenter has it, you know, no matter what side of the stage they come from. And when Emma Stone won, they left, you know, the card was for Best Actress was still sitting there. And so Warren Beatty or whoever, I mean, ended up with that card instead of the Best Picture card. And that's why he seemed confused, and that's why he said, you know, after the fact, you know, he said, the card I got said Emma Stone.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, how does it happen? It seems like one of those things that, like, on the one hand, you think, come on, how does that happen? On the other hand, you kind of think, it's surprising it hasn't happened before, you know?
Right.
But anyway, the thing I hate about it, well, there's a lot of things, but mostly I hated how hard it made to make deadline. But I also hated that it was a pretty good show, and I thought Jimmy Kimmel did a really good job. And that nobody's going to remember that. And he did, by the way, what he did a great job at was handling that.
No, sure. No, that's the total dumpster fire.
Everything on that show is so rehearsed and so scripted. And everything, you know, for months they work on the same. There's no way to prepare for that. And I thought he did a really good job on that. Nobody's going to remember it. Man, that's okay.
All right, let's bounce through some movies because we didn't get to many last week. Let's go to, you want to start with Logan? You want to go to Logan first? Let's start with Logan.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
tell me about Logan.
If it was an R-rated show, I'd say, why the bleep not? Logan is a... because Logan is a comic book movie. Logan, you may know him better as Wolverine. He and Hugh Jackman is back for the last time, he said, playing the character. And it's 2029, and he is, you know, he's a drunk. He's a limo driver, and he you know, occasionally gets in fights and sticks out his claws and rips people up. But the difference in this movie is, well, a couple things. One is it's really downbeat. It's really kind of not quite dystopian, but that kind of world. But also, it's rated R. And so there's a lot of violence and cursing. And I thought that, to me, they went a little overboard with it. Some of it is very effective because, I mean, it kind of shows the consequences of what happens if you, like, stick your talons through a guy's chest or, like, rip his head off or whatever. But and most movies don't do that. But there are other times when it's just too much. I mean, it reminded me some of the cursing in particular. I curse plenty. You can ask my kids. But there were times when it was just too much. And it sounded to me, it's kind of like when you're in junior high and you learn a new dirty word and you want to go like say it. You want to say it at recess and shock everybody. And it shocks them a time or two. But after that, it kind of wears off.
So where are you at on this one?
It's good. It's very good. I mean, Hugh Jackman's good. It's very dark. It's a lot different than any comic book movie you'll see. Because, for one thing, there's not a lot of very few special effects. And, you know, it's kind of he and Dr. X are kind of playing out the string. They're like, you know, they're trying to stay away from the government who's gotten rid of all the mutants, and there hasn't been another mutant born in for like 20 years or something. But then here comes this girl who seems to have some of the same traits or whatever you want to call it that Wolverine has. And she's really good. The little girl is really good.
All right. We have time for one more. Let's do, you want to do Table 19?
Okay, let's go back to last week and do Get Out.
You want to do Get Out? Okay, let's do Get Out. So we'll do Get Out here. We got about a minute and a half. Get Out.
That is a terrific movie. Best movie of the year so far.
Really?
It's Jordan Peele of Key and Peele. And there's some comedy, and at first blush, you think, oh, is it going to be one of those satires or something like that? Not at all. It is an out-and-out horror movie, and with some funny parts. And there's this guy, he's black, his girlfriend is white, he's going to go to her parents' house for the weekend. And they she hasn't told her parents that he's black, but she's like, oh, don't worry about it. My parents would have voted for Obama three times if they could have. And he gets there, and sure enough, there are these... they seem very progressive, very liberal people, but too much so. You know, they're trying to, Bradley Whitford is the dad, and he's really good. And he keeps saying things like, my man, you know, and embarrassing them. But not all is not as it seems, to say the least. And it is a really good takedown of, like, well-meaning sort of blindness to racism, but also out-and-out racism. And it also works as a horror movie. It's terrific. People really have this one to go see.
Really? Wow. You sound...
Yeah.
You're leaving me hanging on that one. You are going to a...
Go.
You're going to a private screening right now of a movie that you cannot say somewhere in the state
really
of Arizona.
Private.
You're going to a private screening.
Private sounds like it's at my house.
I'll be looking forward to hearing your response to this movie next week because I know we'll get to it next week. I'll let you go off that. Thanks.
All right.
See ya. There's Bill Goodykins, Good Eat the Movies. The movie that he's going to see, I cannot say. And where he's going to see it, I cannot say. I was invited, and I cannot go, and I'm not happy. But that's the way it works. Hey, we're done for today. So Kalen Jones produced today and didn't screw up much. Edwin Rodriguez was chairman of the board, kind of, sort of, maybe. Did he screw up at all, Jared? Do I get a thumbs up from him? Or, yeah, he's kind of? Yeah. All right, so he jacked the show up a little bit. It's fine. We'll figure it out. And I've been playing hurt today, so I've just been kind of, no, I have no voice. You guys ever been in that spot where you have to do things, you have part of what you do, and you can't do it right? I was giving myself a C today. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussman.